dear brethren, as we mentioned, the melody that God gives to us may not necessarily be our singing, but rather the message that we receive, the information, the truth, the meaning that we read from his book. And we remember the scripture that says, blessed are your eyes that see and ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And we know that this is about what the Lord said to his disciples, to people around him. And we are past these times. We have seen many more things coming from this wonderful source of truth and light that our Lord Jesus revealed. And through the blessing that we have at the end of this age of understanding how the harmony of God's omnipotent plans is coming together, coming to a fruition. We are so blessed. So we could even say we are even more blessed than they were at that time, although they did see the Lord Jesus and heard his words. And he was a wonderful, wonderful, we know, a human person, and so much more powerful and wonderful he is as the divine being. But when we look at our organs through which we can accept and absorb all this information, we just wonder about both the privilege that we have to be able even to connect with one another. Isn't this wonderful that I am speaking and you're hearing immediately, you're interpreting, understanding what I'm trying to say, and all this is happening through some miraculous mechanism that the Lord has created. The transmitter and the receiver is just so wonderfully designed. Previously, I was fascinated by the, in one previous discourse, by the structure of the human ear, and how without some microscopic bones and this whole mechanism here that actually allows the sound wave to hit our ears and goes through a set of microscopic bones that need to hit on one another, and then finally that vibration needs to enter this cochlea, which is this kind of snail-like structure, and then there are some hairs, would you believe it, that are responsible for receiving all this information and transmitting it to your brain, and then somehow by the miracle of speech as we grow up, our brains are able to make sense out of it, out of these words that we learn, out of the language. So the beauty of language, which God has given to us to accept this kind of intellectual information. And that's how we hear his voice through his word. And we are able to read those words as well, not just hear. But nowadays, we have a lot of time. We have a lot of opportunities to absorb things through the audio path. You know, when we drive in the car, when we are, you know, listening to videos, sometimes you don't have to watch them, but you listen and you absorb, you know, the information. So we truly are blessed, and truly may we be open to God's voice in our lives. We may not hear his physical voice. In fact, only very few people heard what was said to be God's voice, and perhaps it was his angels who so fully represent him that it was correct for them to be, for the scripture to say it was God who spoke. But we know that no one has seen God. That for sure we know. And again, on the transmitting side, we have this another miracle of producing sounds. You know, you see this whole diagram here. You've got the diaphragm at the bottom of our lungs and the lungs that absorb and exhale the air, and there is vocal cords which don't look very pretty. Your lips, which emit the sound, look much more pretty than the vocal cords. But it's a wonderful mechanism. I'm sure those of us who've studied this are amazed. And then, of course, there is the oral cavity and the tongue, which is in the scriptures made responsible for some things that shouldn't be done in terms of speaking, and so we'll read a scripture about that. But how wonderful it is that we have this this mechanism and the blessings provided that we can communicate. May we use both the speaking and the listening organs that we have to God's glory. And how do we hear God's voice? Well, hearing it live, as we said, is very rare, but we do hear it and read about it. Maybe we hear when someone reads to us from the scripture, his word. We also, as you know, observe the nature and his creation. We see the beauty of his harmonious product that he has prepared for us and for the whole world of mankind. And we see the interchanging systems, the wherever you see, whether it's the exchange of gases or the management of fluids on the earth or water and other things that really you just apply just a little bit of in-depth knowledge and you become just amazed at the depths of his intelligence and design and plan. And like Brother Aaron described to us, even over on the axis of time, we see how he manages certain events so they can be a corroboration of a certain line of testimony, and we can appreciate him for his wisdom and see that he is truly God. And we see and we hear his voice in our lives as well. We observe our experiences, just like we heard in the discourse today about events in the scripture that align. Sometimes when we see various events and providential guidance and his overrulings, we also observe his direction. And isn't it then a wonderful, humbling, and excellent feeling that we see the Lord's hand as though his voice in our lives? And so we remember this verse from Isaiah 30:21. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Well, physically we don't hear that voice, but through the observation, through our prayer, through asking these questions of the Lord and looking for answers, perhaps through somebody else who might give us an idea, as we prayerfully consider all the different inputs, we hear this voice. And that's how we feel the scripture is quite compelling for us and quite reminds us about this need to hear and look for his voice. But God's voice in the Bible is described many times. Apparently there are about 4,000 mentions of he said, he commanded, and so on. And a few here that are quite meaningful, all of them are, of course, creation. God said, let there be light. And his words, as says in another place, he commanded and it became, or it was created. Genesis 3:9, God called to the man, to Adam, and said to him, where are you? That was a sad voice that reminded Adam that he has just overstepped and he has trespassed, and now the lesson of permission of evil, which he didn't know exactly what it entailed, would be beginning. We also know that God's voice is compared to the sound of many waters or a loud thunder, and we appreciate that that's his power that often overwhelms us. And we see when we interact with nature, we see the power of the Creator, and we can imagine that this could very well be his voice. And the wonderful Psalm 19, where the heavens speak of his glory. Now it's the creation that turns back and speaks with its voice to declare his glory. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge, but there is no speech. I'm adding the but maybe in another translation there is that. There is no speech. There are no words whose voice is not heard. And so we appreciate that this is a system and a created world that just is so powerfully conveying the power of our Creator. And now we'd like to ask Sister Irene to read a poetic version of the Psalm 19, "The Heavens Declare Thy Glory, Lord." It's actually written by Isaac Watts in the 16th or 1700s. It's his diary.
"The heavens declare thy glory, Lord, in every spot."
Wait. It's Sister Irene Trina. She's got the handout. I'm sorry. Yes. Sorry.
Psalm 19, "The heavens declare thy glory." "The heavens declare thy glory, Lord, in every star thy wisdom shines. But when our eyes behold thy word, we read thy name in fairer lines. The rolling sun, the changing light, in nights and days, thy power confess, but the blessed volume thou hast writ reveals thy justice and thy grace. Sun, moon, and stars convey thy praise round the whole world, and never stand. So when thy truth begun its race, it touched and glanced on every land. Now shall thy spreading gospel rest till through the world thy truth has run, till Christ has all the nations blessed that see the light or feel the sun. Great Son of Righteousness, arise, bless the dark world with heavenly light. Thy gospel makes the simple wise, thy laws are pure, thy judgments right. Thy noblest wonders here we view in souls renewed and sins forgiven. Lord, cleanse my sins, my soul renew, and make thy word my guide to heaven."
Thank you, Sister Irene, and sorry about the mix-up. But what we see in this wonderful psalm is that the world testifies to God's glory, and our response, our voice should be in response to that acceptable and pure, made pure and acceptable in God's sight. And we remember exactly this word, this psalm, this verse, excuse me, in verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." And we see how these two things combine. We see the witness, the testimony of the wonderful glory of God shown through his creation. And we are both reminded and responsible to be aligned with his wonder of creation, and to be pure in our expression and our voice. So we also have a similar hymn in our hymn books. That's hymn 283. And let's just sing verses 1st, 2nd, and then 6 and 8, or the last two. So the first two and the last two we will sing, and the words will be on the screen. You will see that the words are kind of similar, but not exactly those that Isaac Watts wrote. Perhaps there are some connections to the divine plan of the ages and overall our understanding of the scripture. Thank you. And now let's just, for a minute, consider the words that we have collected here from just a few places where the voice of God was heard, and when Jesus was baptized and when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here is the account from Matthew and also from 2 Peter, where the Apostle Peter recounts that as well. And Sister Joan will read that to us.
This is my beloved Son, Matthew 3:16-17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." 2 Peter 1:17. For we were there when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice came to him from the grandeur of the Shekinah, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him." 2 Peter 1:18. We heard this voice come out of heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain.
Thank you. And this was the complete Jewish Bible that we asked Sister Joan to read from. Therefore, that reference to Shekinah as something that does not really appear, I think, in the King James. But we appreciate these words and understand the power of that testimony to those who were witnessing both our Lord's baptism and the transfiguration that occurred on the mountain. And you know, 60 years later, perhaps, the Apostle Peter is recollecting this. And it's not just written in the Gospels, but he says, we were there, we were his witnesses when these words were heard. This was a very powerful, very thrilling evidence, as well as in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the angel strengthened him. And one of the Gospels, I think, describes that there is a voice, and the Lord says, this voice was for your sake. And he said to the apostles about how he will be yet more glorified. So these are the words that God speaks, his voice, his sound. And what responsibility do we have when we use our own voices, our own tongues, as we saw in that diagram? Well, here is one scripture from the Epistle of James. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever we will, the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. We are reminded here of the control that we should be very mindful of what we say, how we say it, how we speak. And of course, we know much of it starts in our hearts, because it's out of the abundance of hearts that the mouth speaketh. So may we have the strength from the Lord to keep our hearts pure so that our words can be also pure and uplifting and true. In Proverbs 21:11, one of the many scriptures in Proverbs about our speech, like apples of gold and setting of silver, is a word spoken in right circumstances. And Ephesians 4:29 reminds us, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. great reminders, and it also reminds us of the phrase that we frequently repeat during our morning devotions, I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, so that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. And if you read a definition of the word unctuous, the way that I have read it in the current modern dictionaries, it actually means flattering. But I think if we take it to 150 years back, it will be more of the calming, and unction probably is a correlated word with an anointing, something that smooths, that allows better connection, better communication, better movement. And there is the wonderful hymn, All for a Thousand Tongues, which of course hopefully would be those tongues that praise the Lord and not say the wrong things. And so instead of singing, we're going to hear this song performed by one choir, For a Thousand Tongues to Sing, and the words will be on the screen. If you wish to sing, you're welcome to it. The tune is a little different, and I appreciated the nuances of that tune. I hope you will as well. We'll put it on the speakers. Hopefully it'll come up without a problem. And let's listen for a few minutes. Wrong one. It's this one here.
Thank you.
I thought this was a very beautiful rendition. And as we look at the words, we see that some of them are slightly different than those we would find in the hymn book. In our hymn book, perhaps a little more correct. I think the last verse may have a bit of a Trinitarian flavor. My gracious master and my God. So we take a correction on that. But how beautiful it is to think of ourselves as previously being deaf and dumb, and now being able to recognize his voice, to speak his praises, and now being able to do that and leap for joy. And we know that this will be also literally fulfilled in the kingdom. So as we come to the end of our devotional, we want to go to this wonderful hymn in the garden, and we want to hear it performed by George Beverly Shea, who was a favorite of a number of brethren. The more I hear him, listen to his recordings, the more I appreciate the talent and privilege that he had. But thinking about the words of In the Garden, someone said, in order to have a fellowship with your Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus, try to close your eyes and visualize yourself at a comfortable place. Maybe not necessarily here, not necessarily even right now. Maybe go to some place that you have cherished from growing up. Or maybe some place where you have experienced, you know, a lot of blessings. And try to see the Lord, though he is invisible, in that situation. Be aware that he is there with you. And try to speak with him as though you would to a friend, as we know about Moses and his relationship with the Lord. And I think this song in the garden does bring that type of association to our minds. So as we hear these words, may we consider that also to be our fellowship with our Lord Jesus and with our Heavenly Father. And actually, he's only going to sing two verses, and we will sing the third verse here with Sister Alice's assistance. our turn. Yes, this last verse seems to have a certain tone of sadness, a certain suggestion that there may be some difficult times. His voice may be sometimes not clearly heard, but he assures us that we are his own. Dear brethren, let's hope that we have in some way come closer to our Lord and to the Heavenly Father while considering these thoughts about how he speaks, how he has spoken through the ages and through the various means of his creation, through his most holy word that he delivered through his mouthpieces. And may we be strengthened by these thoughts and these reflections. And let's close with Hymn 145, Keep Thou My Way, O Lord. The words will be on the screen. It's also reminding us to stay close to the Lord, to watch what we hear, to monitor what we say, and to keep our hearts pure.